other documents which are relevant in more of a, an informational way. The first one is a copy of the memo that went out from the Treasury Department in the summer of 2020 to the recipients, and remember, recipient in this case being Caroline County. We were a sub-recipient of how the reporting of expenditures was being recorded, as well as the retention records. We don't know what that, the particulars of what that looks like yet from the Department of Treasury on this bill, but my expectation is it's not going to be any less stringent than the last bill was. So we will keep our records as we always do. In an email that came from staff liaison from Senator in Holland's office today, we were reminded recipients that fail to comply with the restrictions on use of funds shall be required to repay the secretary an amount equal to the amount of funds used in violation. Recipient governments shall provide periodic reports with detailed accounting of the use of the funds. So if others are innovators elsewhere, my intention is not to be an innovator to pay the federal government back $2 million out of our $140,000 reserve. Particulars about the proposed expenditures. We'll talk through some of the management issues, literally start from when the money hits the bank account a little bit later. But we'll receive $2,224,056. I've read the thing, not cover to cover, but I've read most of it. And as was stated in the all the documentation, you see what we can spend it on. Water and sewer infrastructure projects, premium pay for essential employees, grant support to small businesses and nonprofit organizations, and COVID-related expenditures for public health and sanitation. So here's my first cut, spending $2.2 million. The first one is on COVID-related expenditures for public health and sanitation, $15,000, which is 0.67% of our allocation. That would be toward new trash cans, large capacity trash cans for the apartment complexes. My understanding is we pay close to $700 for each one of those cans. I found them online for $296. So, if we can get these special federal bird rate, which is double what other people pay, we can buy the same can for under $300. I'm proposing that we buy 30 cans.
Well, would you go buy and buy four more for Parka because their lids are all gone?
I was going to say, because then that's not just...
There's a couple of them big ones around that the lids are just...
That's not just additional cans for capacity, which I know a number of the apartments have talked about, but it's to replace the beaten up cans you've already got. And this is basic stuff when it comes to kind of limiting exposure to a disease. Where you have to use, when you have a large density of people, a fire station, an apartment complex, you got no choice but to go to the communal garbage can. You don't have your own garbage can like you have at the house. So as a result, the more capacity we can provide to where people gather, the better it's going to be that it doesn't overtop the can. People have to put their bags everywhere. Garbage man's got to get out of the garbage truck, throw stuff in the can, put it in the can, put it in the truck. Literally, it gets to fewer hands on garbage, and you never know what's in the surface these days, so we can keep people away from garbage. We'll keep our people away from garbage. So that, to me, that's $9,000 we can spend. We can spend more. At $296 a piece, I don't know why we don't start spending money tomorrow. And again, this is the large capacity one. It's not the 90-gallon roll-off you got at the house. These are the big five cans you see. Yeah, there's one right across the street. So that's what's why. $6,000 towards IT upgrades. It would be nice, I think it would be helpful for everyone, to get a second pay portal where if you get a building permit or doing something else by way of expenditure or payment to the town, you can do that, not through our utility billing software, which is the only pay portal now. And my understanding is our utility billing software doesn't talk to other pay portals, so we would need to get an additional pay portal. It's not the end of the world. It would just let people do other things online, get their payment permit, pay for their permit on their credit card, never have to come into this building if they don't have to. So again, the original CARES Act bill was to promote telework. Anything related to telework, by my read, is still eligible for COVID-related relief. The next expenditure is under the heading of essential employee premium pay. I'm proposing that for 23 employees, a total of $73,600, which would be an allocation of $3,200 per employee paid one time as a bonus. That doesn't go to the base of your salary, so that's not an increase on your salary next year. And what that does is that's a dollar-for-dollar match of federal funds that have been administered on an individual basis since the beginning of the pandemic. So this would equal what people have received already through the CARES Act and other financial support. I'm not going to means test it. I'm not going to say if you make more than X, you're not entitled. I'm not going to say if you've been here 30 years or if you've been here for 6 months. We've all worked during the pandemic. We've all been deemed essential. Everybody's come in. People have gotten sick. Our positivity rate was close to 40% of our employees. And that doesn't include the people like myself who were never tested. But you never know.
So how about the county? Did we get a bonus?
I think you guys are grossly underpaid, and I think your work is essential as well.
Yeah, there's going to be an increase. Better be going in the budget this year. I'm not running, but I will say that I think the council needs to increase in their salary.
Council, and I'll say this: everybody's time is valuable, and I sincerely believe everybody's time is valuable when they contribute to public service. But that's for our employees. We run it through payroll, so there'll be payroll deductions. I've had this discussion with some of the local government folks. I can't get into an arms race. If you read the data, read the report, you know, you can pay people up to $25,000. If somebody can get that deal, I'll be happy to sign a letter of reference for them to go to that organization. I can't do that. We can't do that here. We've got other things to take care of that this bill at least gives us the ability to do. So a dollar-for-dollar match with the federal support that people have already received, I think, is the nearest metric, considering we didn't send anybody home and say, don't come to work. So. Okay. And by the way, that averages out over the working year 2,080 hours to $1.54 increase. And again, 3.4% of the total allocation. Next is community support for small businesses and nonprofit organizations. I'm proposing $350,000 towards that fund, or 15.74%. Community support for small businesses would be awarded under a one-time, not to exceed dollar-limit grant. And again, based on a first-come, first-served, when that fund is out of money, which would be, again, used for various expenditures, including lost revenue from the required shutdowns by executive order and the inability of the nonprofits to hold their usual fundraising activities. Proposing right now is a very detailed plan on that. In my discussions with the county administrator, it's my understanding that through some grant-funded programs under federal support, if you apply for one and receive funding, that prohibits you from applying for others. I'm going to hold the nonprofits responsible for knowing what their own obligations are. And again, what I'm proposing is a cap, first come, first serve, $10,000 award. So arguably, up to 35 local small businesses and nonprofits would be in line. unless we save on the capital project side. We're going to talk about that momentarily. By the way, the premium pay for employees and the COVID-related expenses in public health, sanitation, and information technology would be almost day-one expenditures. So when we get our first transfer of money in the middle of May, as soon as we can process both of those, we will. The timeliness of the grant project is also important because people are suffering now, organizations are suffering now. So as soon as we can expedite that, we will. The upside is that keeps us well under $1 million, $350,000, $73,600, and $15,000 is not close to spending $1.1 million. So we can get all that done probably before the end of summer. At least that's that would be the goal, and that would be some money locally, so it'll stimulate the economy as well. All right, the lion's share. $1,784,000, give or take a few bucks, or just about 80% of our allocation towards capital projects, and has been laid out. These include water and sewer projects as well as broadband infrastructure. We don't do broadband infrastructure, but if there's a private sector partner who wants to run a broadband that we're tearing up the street, I have no problem with the idea that somebody puts a conduit in, and, you know, the more the merrier. That point in time, but we're not there yet. So, what can we do with $1,784,000 if we can't do streets? And apparently, it's become clear we can't do streets. So, on the water and sewer side, pending, we've already got three. Do you have Bob Rao? We don't have Bob Rao. Okay. That Bob Rao is already, and Rao's team has already put in at the end of January. For funding from MDE. Just to refresh everyone's memory and for the benefit of the worldwide audience on the internet right now, they included the pumping stations and wastewater SCADA upgrades, which came to the tune of $2,215,550, round that to $2,215,000. By Rao's estimate as well, this project does not include any other funding, any other funding sources, and this project includes contingency of $292,000. So again, tap into the contingency if needed, but out of a $2,215,000 project, have $2,292,000 contingency handy is beneficial. Right? So there's that one that's pending. This is also the one, the project that's projected to be latest starting and longest lasting. The planning on that is scheduled to begin, if it's approved and funding is granted, June of this year, construction beginning August of next year, with completion being May of the following year. Well, it's a good thing we have 3 years.
So that's 2023.
Correct. May of 2023, completion. It still falls under the period years. It still falls under the umbrella. But that's a $2 million project as well. The others are relatively low-hanging fruit. I know people hate that expression. But the water meter upgrades to the tune of $970,000 total, where we do have already funds secured, $13,000 from USDA Rural Development. So, and that carries about a $35,000 contingency, which may or may not need to be spent. That one has a little bit more of an aggressive calendar. The planning begins in May of 2020. Construction begins in January of, that's obviously a mistake. It looks like this is a year off. So, planning would begin May of 2021. Construction January of 2022, and completion in January of 2022. So this one has to be spent down by December 31st, 2022. And then the other one is the water SCADA project. Again, a relatively speaking, a low-cost project coming in at $213,000, of which is already $13,000 from USDA is already secured. These three combined come to $3.3 million, which we couldn't afford. So depending on what, unless we get support in the end of the year, of course, and at a, let's say a 50% their money, 50% our money, this basically makes up these three projects to make up everything we've got. If we do better than 50-50, obviously things become available. If this turns out to be a 75-25 split, counting on 25%, it's ballpark $800,000 and some change. That still leaves us ballpark $800,000 left to spend on other projects. So the upside is we can get all these done without necessarily incurring more debt, assuming that we award them in.
So when is the decision supposed to be made on those? Do we have any idea of when they're supposed to be making a decision on
that? I think back in the day when we put these in back in January, the expectation was May.
Okay.
So we'll all know soon enough as far as what's what. But again, I think that was the expectation. I'm not, right now I don't think any of us can be held to any certainty on any of that. That's why I say this is the first one of these discussions, because our engineer can tell us how to stage these better. If we're confident we're going to get funding, and if we're funded on some of the projects, it makes sense to start on the projects that we're already funded for. If we're denied funding on any of them, even a $900,000 project, a $970,000 project, with $1.7 million to spend isn't the killer. We can get that done all on our own. Or we can hold it in our back pocket for a year and go out and find the funding.
Yeah, you just don't have to do it now.
Correct. Especially with his next $1 trillion bill he wants to pass through Congress for infrastructure updates throughout the U.S. on it. There could be a lot more money coming through for grants for such things in the next 6 months to a year also.
Because here's, and I had a very brief discussion with the town engineer on this on Friday, and that question came up because we've asked it around here as well. If you do a water project and you have to repave the street, is all of this included? And my expectation was the answer is going to be no. My expectation the answer is going to be the bill specifically says water, sewer, and broadband internet. So it doesn't say other road project associated with water project. Now, what I don't have much clarification on is, and I've sent an email to a number of people on this, is, are you interpreting water as potable water, or are you interpreting water as stormwater? Because if this, we can interpret it, water is water regardless of where in the hydraulic cycle it is. Coming out of the tap or falling from the heavens, then we can address some of our stormwater issues. Again, our engineer has got the design of stormwater management and flood control measures at Marina Park already done. My understanding is there's a shortfall of about $350,000 to get that project done. So if water includes stormwater, then yeah, let's move forward on Marina Park. The other thing that includes stormwater might not be the world, but at least the curb and gutter to me is a stormwater management device, as is fixing some of our issues with our stormwater drains as well. Are you cleaning them out, replacing the ones that are dropped or broken? And new ones if we need to connect to the system. There are a number of things we can do, assuming stormwater qualifies under water, or storm sewer qualifies under sewer. But roads seem to be out of the picture on this one, perhaps pending further legislation. So, and I'm sure our engineer will have no difficulty generating a list of potential projects for us. Again, knowing how we stand with these three, and if these three need to be phased different. Again, all of these have got a due date on them by when the project has to be complete if we get NDE support from the various NDE funds. projects, Marina Park, and anything with the stormwater curb and gutter, I would say that that's a start.
So, was outdoor activities and stuff for doing stuff outside and upgrades to the parks, is that also included in here?
Yeah, well, that we see that we can leverage. We can leverage other things. What is it, open space drainage? Mr. Simmons and I have had this discussion about other things we can really leverage some upon the park and recreation funding to get some other things done at the Marina Park. And again, this isn't about the boaters at this point. We've got to re- I was on Snow Hill, and I really like Snow Hill's waterfront compared to ours. But we can do things to improve the bulkhead, improve boater safety, with kayak launch. And there's a bunch of things we can do. We've got to start spending money on the park. But the big picture right now, and I'm sure Bob can update everybody on what that project looked like, but it was identified as a stormwater management, flood design, park enhancements projects were in the park. So again, if we're considering stormwater and floods to be water, then I think we're good to move forward on that project as a potential, you know, put it on the list as well. And then we pick up some other leverage what we're doing with this money for some other things like boating improvements, bulkhead improvements, boater safety, better signage, safety rails, safety ladders, all the stuff down there that's not safe. So,
I mean, some of the things on my list that I think we would need to deal with at Marina Park would be, we need to get the splash pad functioning, and whatever part we need to buy to make that the health department is not on top of us, and, you know, I think that needs to be a priority to get that fixed. I'd like to get the volleyball fixed, and I was talking to Lindsay, and she said she thinks that some of this money can be used for getting people outside and exercising, and because people have, you know, been trapped inside and not doing stuff outside, so, you know, I know some of the kids at the basketball court, they would like some benches or bleachers to sit on. They can be strapped down. It's not like, I mean, they would float away, they could be strapped down, but kids lay their stuff, or kids, they're sitting all the time on the, you know, on the pavement, on the dirt. And then I'd like to see either pickleball or like the tennis courts resurfaced and put a pickleball court up there. I mean, we really could use some improvements to get people outside.
Tennis court needs to have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, well, we could get that plastic up, resurface it, and then the pickleball, I think, uses the same net. It's just a smaller footprint, like within it, so you could use it for both things. So, for the technology in here, I think it would be nice if we could have like a better camera system than my laptop that's used. Mm-hmm. To continue, I mean, eventually we will open back up for in-person meetings, but there are people I think that would join if they could just join in from home. The nonprofits, I was writing a list of people that could use the money and what they could use it for, but I couldn't get to 35 to do 10,000 each.
It depends whether the site is a nonprofit or a small business. I mean, most churches are considered nonprofit. If you figure in the number of churches in the town of Fettlesburg, you ain't going to be long getting to 35. It all depends what.
Maybe we could get the street vendor off the street.
It all depends on what you're taking as a nonprofit, what size. I don't know what it's actually technically is a small business. Employee wise, and I don't know how many of those are based in Fettlesburg. Are you going to have is that open to a one man show who owns his own tractor trailer and it's a business and been as busy as he could be for the last 12 months? But it's open to anybody who submits, so just we give him $10,000 just because he
is that how that works?
To apply and put what they were using the money for, like for like if you know, let's say
the restaurant
wanted to put outside dining, right? So they would use that money to spruce up their outside so they could do better outside dining kind of thing.
As an approach. Low threshold, easy, would be my philosophy on this, as opposed to high threshold and rough. Because it's to make people, who some people kind of lost. You think of a restaurant, people couldn't come in, they got a freezer full of food, eventually that stuff's going to get thrown out. They've got loss regardless of what they've been doing by way of takeout. So moving forward, to do things like give them outdoor seating, but also to make them right for some of the loss that they've already experienced. And I know there have been programs that have been run through the county to help small business as well. I don't know how, I don't know if our folks have taken advantage of some of those counties. I can ask at the county level, but I don't want to exclude somebody because they had these issues back in August and got help that they're not eligible for anything now. I would defer right now to our attorney on the churches because a lot of them run programs that are not denominational. I mean, if you feed people...
Well, there's a lot of them to hand out clothes, hand out food,
exactly.
Whatever.
Right.
So that's why I was...
Exactly. But, again, if you haven't been able to pass the plate first for particular denominational reasons, I don't know the tax money goes to that, but I think we're doing non-denominational food or clothes distribution, provide social services in some capacity. I think that that's sort of thing that's easier to do. And that's why I don't want to rush into that one just yet. I'd like some legal interpretation as to who's eligible. And then I would just sit tight on the further guidance we're going to get about reporting, because the idea is if you get support, then you need to tell us what you're going to spend it on, how you're going to spend it, and then prove that you've actually spent it that way.
Right.
So back to the employee premium pay, did we have anybody miss a paycheck?
No.
Did we have anybody not get paid for their sick time at home?
Not at all.
Okay. So for me, and this is just my opinion, because I get up and I go to work every day, and I'm considered an essential employee, but that's my job, and that's what I have to do, and that's my, interpretation of it. I feel that $3,200 is a lot when there's a lot of things that could be done in the community, and some people don't live in Fettlesburg, and they're going to spend that money in other towns.
Right.
It's not going to be spent in Fettlesburg. So I would like to look at, that particular amount and discuss how we can, thank everybody for, coming to work and doing their job with giving them a bonus. But I also think that, to me, I think there's better uses of that, but that's my personal opinion. I don't know what everybody else feels, but that's my 2 cents on that one. And I know we'll discuss that one further.
Yes.
And the 22 employees is also Public Works and Police Department?
It's all, it's everybody. Because, correct, when we had our vacancy, we filled vacancies. We didn't freeze positions. We didn't furlough positions. We didn't send people home to not work. We didn't cut anybody's pay off. Everybody came in. Everybody did their job. And again, we had a high number of people test positive during the course of the pandemic. I can't say that they got their sickness here or at home or anywhere else. But while staff was down, others were picking up their slack. And frankly, that went to every department. That went to this building, went to Public Works, went to the sewer plant, went to the police department. So everyone who was essential lived up to their title.
All right, do you guys have any other questions, thoughts, comments?
No, I just need to see on the grants, how that all plays out on the legally and reporting-wise and what everybody needs.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, I think it's a good idea and worthwhile. I'm just curious how that's going to all play out.
Yeah, because you really can't make a decision until you know you don't have enough information.
Well, it would be nice if we got confirmation on those as to help us guide of what we kind of really had to work with everything else that's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the next thing would be to start looking at that, prioritize based off of that. If we have that, what's the contingency? If we don't get that, what's the contingency? To have a couple models to work off of.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to settle the money and get turned down for
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then we missed out on something that really should have been done that would benefit everybody all the way around.
I'll ask Bob to, I'm sorry, Bob to come and sequence some of these things for us because, I mean, I've been here a year. To me, that never really seems to get to be done very well. Is what gets sequenced to one of our capital projects? You know, because right now, can $35,000 on a little log cabin wait? Well, it actually can't because we've got to spend money. But in the big picture now of those little projects, with $2.2 million that we have to spend on a, in very strict buckets over the next 3 years, some of the little things that have been out there waiting, maybe have to wait a little bit longer. And again, that's just a matter of sequencing, whether that's their stamp or our ability to pay for it. The upside is this is going to be cash in the bank, so we don't have to monkey around with reimbursements and cash flow and all the rest of the stuff. So that's the upside.
I wanted to ask about the large capacity trash cans. At one point when we were talking about our different options for trash in town, we had talked about the apartment buildings not being part of our system. And as far as I remember, we didn't really make a firm decision about that. So I don't know that I want to spend $9,000 on trash cans and then decide that it's not our responsibility to pick up trash up there. So, I mean, I think if we are going to continue picking up trash, we definitely need to replace those, but I think we probably need to make a decision about trash before we go purchasing all of these trash cans.
Yeah, so we discussed looking at the pricing of what they pay versus the haul fee that we pay when we go to the dump versus them getting dumpsters.
Steve made a comment, I think it was on the meeting, or I talked to him after the meeting, I can't remember which, that he says if we don't do those, it's going to take such a hit out that we'll never be able to pick up trash. Just because of the lost revenue, we wouldn't be able to afford, like, the trash truck.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Remember what, understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because of what they pay per, but they pay per unit, and those people are spending, like, I pay $35 and I don't fill a trash can, whereas somebody in an apartment and some of these other people, they're overflowing the trash can. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, but you have that between individual houses.
Yeah, you do.
So
you do. But the apartment complex, if they're dumping,
there's no real way to regulate that. But my thing was going to be, if my trash can breaks in half tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I've been told since we started this process 20 years ago that I have to go buy the new trash can myself to have it. That's not true?
Not if your trash can breaks.
Because that's what.
Or if the lid comes off.
If it disappears, that's what.
All right.
But if you need a new lid,
told how to replace one.
To replace repairs or have repairs done to it, we take care of that.
Okay.
If it disappears completely or you just need an additional can, that one you have to buy, but you keep it. All
right.
So even if the, because there's, if you walk through town, I bet a quarter of the trash cans don't have lids or full lids in any case.
If they let us know, I mean, I don't know. Public Works Program.
No, I know, but I thought it was on the homeowner. That's why they never bothered replacing them.
To come and replace the parts.
Can we replace the dumpster? I mean, just the lid?
The big ones?
No.
The small
ones?
Yes.
The small ones, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we went to Richmond about 35 or so.
Was Steve said overall, he doesn't think their trash is that much per unit. Like, he doesn't think it's an abnormal amount that comes out of there. It's a lot because
there's a lot of people
there, but per unit, he says it didn't seem like it's that abnormal.
Okay.
It's a conversation we had at one point.
I thought that would basically cut a whole day out of it. They wouldn't be able to do trash in one day because they only had to
deal with it. Yeah, that's what I sort of remember.
It may, time-wise, but still,
And as far as the community and small business grants, I'm sort of with you guys. I think that's an awesome thing to be able to do, but I just want some standards there. I just don't want anybody who, selling Amway in his basement to necessarily apply for one. And the premium pay, I'm sort of with Kim on this, quite honestly. I know my husband is a physician. He's an essential employee, and through this whole thing, he never missed a day of work and treated people, and nobody's giving him any bonus for doing his job. I do think we need to compensate. You know, I think that would be a good thing to compensate the extra effort, but I don't know that $3,200 is the amount. So I would be open for discussion on that.
Do you guys have any thoughts back there before we get a motion in one closed session?
Not right now. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, don't have a contract information.
Okay. So can I have a motion to go into closed session, please? Discussion of personnel matter?
I make a motion we go into closed session to discuss personnel matters.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.